There are some signs that eating disorders have increased during the pandemic. The National Eating Disorders Association reported an increase in calls to its helpline by as much as 80% at several points during the pandemic. Other research found that people already diagnosed with anorexia and binge eating disorders had worse symptoms. A quick content advisory here. We will have some discussion of eating disorder symptoms in this conversation. We're talking about this increase in eating disordered behavior during the pandemic, looking at risk factors and how to help yourself or a loved one. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you or a loved one recovered from an eating disorder? What do you want people to know about recovery? Did you suffer from more symptoms during the pandemic? Do you have a question about eating disorders? Do you think there are things people get wrong about them? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Brenda Velaceris is the executive director and founder of Evolve Healing. Brenda, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Now, you and your colleagues work with people with eating disorders, I understand. Have you seen changes either in the intensity of eating disorders or the demand for help with them over this last year and a half or so?
Yes, we have. We have a great influx of calls, whether it's just inquiry calls, like how to support a loved one or how to get help for myself, you know, for themselves, all the way to just seeking out treatment. We have wait lists for all levels of care. And in talking with other eating disorder clinics throughout the United States, they also are experiencing the same high call volume, high demand for treatment.
And at the same time, and you're based here in Wisconsin, Brenda, a lot of different kinds of treatment for a lot of conditions, the pandemic has gotten in the way of it. It was harder to have, for example, in-person sessions. Has that been a roadblock here?
Initially, it was. It created or put us in a position to be really creative with our resources, and it ended up turning out to be a really unique experience. So we went virtual for our treatment, whether that was for outpatient or for more of our intensive programs, such as IOP, which is a 3-hour a day program, or PHP, which is a 6-hour a day program. And we did all of it virtual for quite a long time. It, of course, doesn't replace that in-person interaction, but we were able to provide those services and care to individuals quite successfully.
I'm hoping we can get to some misconceptions about eating disorders. And one is one that I got to say, I share deep down, I think, and even though I know it's wrong, in pop culture, I think there's an image of an eating disorder sufferer as being young, white, thin, and female. And looking into this, it affects a lot more people than just that, right?
Absolutely. Eating disorders do not discriminate. It's deeply rooted in genetics, as well as social factors, cultural factors, psychological factors, and none of that discriminates. So it can be male or female, it can be adolescent all the way into geriatric population. We had a patient that was 78 years old that we were treating for anorexia, and our youngest patient that we've had was 9. It encompasses all different types of individuals.
In our society, of course, we talk a lot about the food we eat, about weight gain and weight loss, and as I understand it, not always in healthy ways. And during the pandemic, there were a lot, I think, of maybe well-meaning news articles saying, hey, don't gain that quarantine 15, don't put on weight because you're stuck at home and eating different foods. Can those messages be harmful when it comes to eating disorders?
Yes. Yeah, it can. I think that contributed to the influx in calls and onset of eating disorders for some people. How eating disorders work is we're genetically predisposed to an eating disorder. Certain people are genetically predisposed to an eating disorder, and that lays dormant until a significant life event presents itself. Without the pandemic, that could be like starting high school, graduating from college, getting married, parents getting divorced, some sort of trauma event, and then that sets things in motion for an eating disorder. Well, the pandemic created this great panic, and people that thought that they could manage their anxiety or could control things outside of themselves were faced head on with that isn't true. And so that kind of set that predisposition for an eating disorder into motion, along with the societal pressures of looking a certain way, being a certain way, fitting into a certain group or a certain expectation, created this perfect storm for people to overexercise, to do these different kinds of diets, to overly restrict and control what they're inputting in their body, to create different kinds of panics over certain foods, like if I eat sugar, I'm going to die, kind of a thing. It played a huge role in this.
We're talking to Brenda Velasquez, executive director and founder of Evolve Healing, looking at eating disorders, higher numbers by some measures anyway, during the pandemic, more concern about it. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you have a question about eating disorders and experience, if you're willing to share that, 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. Brenda, how can a person spot the signs of an eating disorder in their own life? I assume it may sneak up on people. They don't realize that there's a problem.
I would say most people are probably not going to notice. Mm-hmm. It's their friends and family, people around them, that are going to start pointing it out by making subtle comments like, you never go out anymore, or you're always so worried about how you're looking, or I haven't talked to you in 3 weeks, what's going on? So you're going to start noticing things that are out of the ordinary for you, a bit more obsessive, a bit more worrisome about certain things such as body or what you're eating, a bit more withdrawn, a bit more controlling over things. Those usually are like the early signs. Weight loss does not necessarily equate an eating disorder. Somebody can have anorexia and not be like have dramatic weight loss or be within the normal BMI. It's more like, are they having erratic vital signs or poor lab draws? Are they starting to show signs of malnourishment? Those are more of the indicators of an eating disorder, but they tend to be a little bit more subtle. And so the behavioral aspects of an eating disorder are going to show first.
And Brenda, you just mentioned anorexia. Can you lay out that and a couple of the other most common types of eating disorders and briefly what each of them consists of?
Sure. Probably more of the well-known eating disorders are bulimia and then anorexia. And anorexia is really about restriction. Restriction of caloric energy and a really high preference for body image. Looking a certain way, weighing a certain weight, etc. Bulimia is more of eating and then purging. Purging can be in many different facets. That could be through laxative or diet pills. That could be through over-exercising. That could be through vomiting. So any compensatory behavior. There's binge eating disorder, which is new to the DSM-5 within like the last 2 or 3 years. And that's where you eat large amounts, large quantities of food, high caloric foods, in a very short period of time with a significant amount of guilt and remorse, but the inability to stop yourself, with no compensatory behaviors at all. And then there's some atypical eating disorders such as RFED, which is usually termed as picky eating. We'll only eat certain foods or certain textures, stay away from things that smell a certain way, and it becomes very restrictive and can lead to malnourishment. And then there's like orthorexia. And orthorexia is, I want to be really, really healthy and have extremely clean eating, but it went to the dark side. And so now they're becoming extremely malnourished, underweight. They have a very limited lifestyle because they won't go out. They won't allow anybody to cook their food anymore for them. And so it gets kind of haywire.
We're talking to Brenda Velasquez, executive director and founder of Evolve Healing. She's talking to us about an increase in eating disorders during the pandemic. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to know about eating disorders, signs and symptoms, risk factors, how to get help? Do you have resources you'd like to share with those struggling with an eating disorder, or an experience you'd like to share, and maybe, hopefully, a treatment that helped you out? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our talk now with Brenda Velaceres, Executive Director and Founder of Evolve Healing. She's telling us about eating disorders because more people reported eating disorder symptoms during the pandemic since it began. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about eating disorders and experience you can share with us? 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Brenda, I wanted to ask you about treatment. You just said there are definitely different kinds of eating disorders, but what are some of the basics that people can do to get treatment and hopefully overcome this kind of disorder?
I think the most common treatment is outpatient, which is a routine appointment with a therapist once or twice a week, seeing a dietitian once a week. Sometimes it can be every other week, and then maintenance would be considered monthly. Somebody is pretty much near completion of recovery from an eating disorder or just need a tune-up would be monthly sessions. And then there's higher levels of care that offer more intensive treatment. IOP or intensive outpatient is 3 hours a day, 3 to 4 days a week. It's typically Monday through Thursday. And then there is partial hospitalization. That would be the next level. That's typically 6 hours a day, Monday through Friday. And then there's residential, which is 24-hour care. And people are usually in residential 30 to 45 days. And then there's inpatient. Inpatient is the most intensive level of treatment. It's also the shortest amount of treatment because you're really just in a medical hospital to get medically stable. It can be anywhere from 1 to 2 days to, you know, several weeks, depending on how stable you are. But the minute that you're stabilized, then you would bounce back to residential. So you can go through these different levels of care, up or down, if you can think of it as a ladder, depending on what your symptomology is and what kinds of treatment needs you require.
We heard from Chris in Milwaukee, who says she had an eating disorder and says it was hard to get a doctor to pay attention when your eating disorder results in a loss of weight. Chris says doctors seem to be more than happy to talk about obesity or being overweight. What would you say to health care providers to take a situation like Chris's seriously?
Chris's experience is actually very, very common. Earlier today, I had a conversation with a client that was a 16-year-old that was getting praised by their doctor for losing weight, and they have anorexia. And the client at 16 was kind of like, I don't think that's the right thing, the right message I should be getting. and so this caller's experience is actually correct. Like, there's a lot more focus on obesity and having a low BMI and being thin because it's going to lead to all these health concerns. And so there's a lot more encouragement to lose weight or to be put on a diet or take a medication than to look at like natural growth curves and what's appropriate to the client. So appropriate screening, there's a SCOFF screen. It's 4 questions that medical personnel can quickly use to check to see if there is the potential for an eating disorder, and it can be easily caught. I like to provide a lot of education to medical staff so that they can look for warning signs and kind of lay off the, you know, that the weight is the end all be all for health, and that the way you look determines how healthy you are, and always to keep in the back of their mind that you could potentially be working with somebody that has an eating disorder or had an eating disorder.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Angela is with us in Baraboo. Angela, hi.
Hey.
What did you want to bring up, Angela?
So I just wanted to bring up the fact that, I have had an eating disorder. And I think the one thing that we should look at is that we are all beautiful and that you should just feel healthy. Mm-hmm. And women are some of the strongest people in the world. We give birth. We make other human beings in our bodies. And to do that, we have to be healthy and we have to eat right. And I just want to let you know that, you know, whether it's a media thing, which I think has greatly contributed to eating disorders, or whether it's a I have a crush on this guy or anything, men love us, and we just need to learn to love ourselves as much as men love us.
Angela, thanks a lot for the call. I want to bring Brenda into this. Angela, concerned about our body self-image, especially for women. Brenda, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think that's those societal pressures in our culture that puts a lot of pressure on us to look a certain way and be a certain way and to fit a mold or an expectation that the majority of us cannot fit in. We're just not genetically predisposed to, you know, weigh a certain weight or, you know, be a certain figure. And what the caller was saying is, you have to kind of build up from within and recognize your own strengths. And I always tell my clients to bubble wrap yourself against some of those messages that is out there in our culture and in our society so that you can take care of yourself the way that you need to be taking care of yourself and not try to be somebody you're not.
Angela, thanks a lot for that call. We'll go to Tom next in Milwaukee. Tom, hello.
Hi. I'm wondering, is there a relationship between eating disorders and obsessive compulsive disorders?
Oh, interesting question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that you're actually onto something. There is comorbidity when it comes to an eating disorder. Very rare does an eating disorder present by itself. It usually is in conjunction with another mental illness, whether that be depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, or obsessive-compulsive disorder. We do see obsessive-compulsive disorder, or OCD, very commonly show up with more of those restrictive eating disorders like orthorexia or anorexia. Now, it's kind of a chicken or an egg type situation. Did the eating disorder create some of these OCD tendencies, or was there already a predisposition for OCD and then it morphed into, eating disorder, diagnosis? That's hard to sift out, but do they present themselves together? Absolutely.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking about eating disorders, they seem to have gone up on the rise during the pandemic. Brenda Velasquez is with us, executive director and founder of Evolve Healing, which works with people with eating disorders. Brenda, what would you like to see from the media when it comes to these issues of body image that one of our earlier callers brought up? You know, I do a lot of our grocery shopping over the years. I've seen the tabloids at the checkout line, half the articles for a while were about, hey, this celebrity's gained weight. And about a quarter of them seemed to be, oh, no, this celebrity's too thin. They're anorexic. What would you like to see from the media?
Well, I mean, in some ways, some of that is changing. There are a lot of influencers out in social media now pushing back. There's more diversity being presented in ad campaigns, like Old Navy is now, you know, being more size inclusive in their stores instead of having to order particular sizes online only. The models that are in these ads are more diverse in their size and their shape and in their color. And I think that's all very helpful. But media is going to sell what the consumer wants. And so as long as the consumer is desiring these kinds of things, it's going to continue to be presented out in society. So I think it has to start within. And then the less we care about that stuff, then the less we're going to see it.
And just our last minute, Brenda, you mentioned that family members and loved ones are often the first ones to spot the warning signs. If we think someone we know might have an eating disorder, what is the right way to bring that up? It's a tough conversation to have.
Oh, it is very tough. I think you have to have the conversation. I think so many families want to dance around it, pretend that it's not there, that they'll grow out of it, it'll go away. And really, you just have to kind of put it out on the table and just say, I'm concerned. You're acting a little bit out of the ordinary for yourself. I'm noticing X, Y, and Z, maybe use an example. But when you present this to your loved one, do so in a very loving way, not in a shame way, not in an intimidation way, not out of fear or panic that you're experiencing, because the more fearful you are, the more panic you are, the worse the conversation's going to go. If you don't feel like you're equipped to bring up this information to your loved one, go see a counselor that specializes in eating disorders so they can prep you on how to present it. they can give you some tips and tricks and get you all set up to have that conversation with your loved ones so that they can get help.
Brenda, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, this was so much fun. Thanks for having me.
Brenda Velaceres is the executive director and founder of Evolve Healing. She joined us today for a look at eating disorders during the pandemic. Groups that deal with eating disorders report more calls to their helplines, big jumps in calls at some points over the course of the pandemic. By the way, if you or someone you love is struggling with an eating disorder, you can call one of those helplines. It's the National Eating Disorders Association helpline. The number is 800-931-2237. Again, that's 800-931-2237.